Welcome to today's edition of the Blazing Grace Show with Jason Graves and Mike Janung. Blazing Grace covers blazing issues with grace-filled answers. Here are your hosts, Jason and Mike.
It's another exciting edition of the Blazing Grace Show. This is Jason Graves along with famed Lakers fan Mike Janung. Hello, Mike.
I'm in sackcloth and ashes.
You are. I mean, you're tearing your clothes and you're pouring ashes over your head. And I'm in pain for you after last night. Folks, if you don't know, the Phoenix Suns beat Mike's beloved Lakers.
No, they didn't beat him.
Horribly.
They spanked
them. Oh, it was almost 30 points, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm in pain for you.
Laughing at me.
Not that I know what that feels like, because the Sonics never lose by that much, but...
Are they in the playoffs?
Okay, I'll shut up now.
Are they in the playoffs?
Right. Well, listen, we have something much more exciting to talk about, and somebody joining us here today we're very excited about. Welcome to the show, Melissa Freirier. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Jason and Mike. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And if you don't know already, you've been hiding in a hole. Melissa is part of the Love One Out team at Focus on the Family, and she is very accomplished in terms of helping people understand the issues of coming out of same-gender attractions, and very much a part of the recovery community in some very interesting ways. So we're going to hear about her story today, and then next week we'll hear more about Love One Out and Focus. So Melissa, I know you've done this a lot here. Boy, you've been all over on Anderson Cooper and different radio interviews and TV interviews, and so we're honored to have somebody like you being a part of the Blazing Grace Show, and love to hear your story. What would you like our listeners to know about you?
Well, and that is my favorite thing to do, to talk about Christ and what he's done in my life.
Amen.
And I know you all can relate to this. If someone would have told me, you know, 20 years ago what my life would look like now, I never would have believed them. Mm-hmm. And I'm in awe, at least daily, and so grateful that I struggled as a young person with same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you've talked with people with this struggle, oftentimes they'll say about how, you know, I felt different and were aware, even in elementary school or especially middle school, that maybe something was going on. And I felt that way as a young person, 11, 12, 13, began to question my sexual identity and my attractions, and began to question whether I might be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Reader's Digest version.
Right.
Stepped into a relationship with another young woman at the age of 16.
Mm-hmm.
That marked the beginning of the next 10 years of my life, and lived actively homosexually for about a decade. And in that time, celebrated that identity, welcomed it, assumed that I'd been born gay because I knew that I hadn't chosen the feelings, and just assumed that's the way life was going to be.
Right.
And thankfully, God in his grace and his mercy began to intervene in my life in the mid-later 20s, and that's my favorite part to talk about, and we can break that up into pieces and questions if you like. And God then began to intervene first in bringing me to saving grace of coming to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, and then he began this radical, a wild journey of transformation that has occurred in so many different facets of my life, from what I think and believe, feel, literally the tractions, even how I look. So it's been he's been very good, needless to say.
Amen.
You said that you assumed you were born that way. How do you see that issue today?
Assuming first as a young person that I'd been born gay because, you know, I never woke up one morning and thought, gee, I think I'll be a lesbian from this point in my life. That that would be a good life direction.
Right.
And so not understanding the genesis of the struggle, not understanding what were the contributing factors at that point, having not read the research, just believing, you know, the media, and which I know now was wrong and misrepresented. But as I began my journey out of a lesbian identity, you know, read the research, read the studies, and it was like, lo and behold, good gracious, there is no such thing as a gay gene. I wasn't born gay. Began to talk with so many other men and women who themselves had overcome same-sex attraction. I began to read books, counseling, therapy.
So what were the contributing factors you mentioned?
Well, for me, and of course we can't say this is true of every person, right. But I will interject that having been in this area of ministry for over a decade, I do see a lot of these factors in a disproportionate number of men and women's lives. So mm-hmm. certainly not mm-hmm. everyone, but it does seem a disproportionate number. Some of the key pieces for me was either real or perceived, and more so perceived for me, a breakdown in the family dynamics, the family relationships. Mm-hmm. And I want to be careful there because I don't want to misrepresent my parents. I want to honor my parents. We have the most amazing relationship today. And trying to look at that objectively, you know, I recognize, for example, there were ways that my mother and I didn't connect mm-hmm. on a really deep, intimate, emotional level because mm-hmm. we're different people. We have different personalities. Mm-hmm. We're wired differently. And in some ways that we didn't disconnect or in ways that we didn't connect and there was a disconnect, for me, I can very clearly see that I was, you know, I was seeking out that maternal nurturing mm-hmm. Unconsciously in lesbian relationships. Mm-hmm. To some degree, maybe with my dad in the sense that, you know, when you say someone's a good man, mm-hmm. My dad is a good man, and he was doing the things that were right to provide for the family. The problem was that we weren't together a lot, and we didn't spend a lot of time together. And in retrospect, you know, I really needed him there to have helped help me with my gender identity. We know that fathers are critical in helping to affirm their children, a son right. or a daughter, mm-hmm. in their gender identity. Mm-hmm. And we simply didn't have the time together. Mm-hmm. And again, some level of lacking relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, another major piece for me was being sexually violated by mm-hmm. a man as a child mm-hmm. outside of my family. And understandably, that created a lot of fear and distrust and eventually a seething hatred toward men right. Of having been violated. Mm-hmm. So there was a flight, obviously, from the masculine. Mm-hmm. And connected that then to that, a rejection of the feminine, because it was a liability now to be a woman.
Right.
And so I really disconnected from my feminine identity and, mm-hmm. and from being a young woman, and then really began to struggle with gender identity as well, and wishing that I could have been a boy and mm-hmm. born a boy mm-hmm. and tried to live out, you know, a false masculine persona, if you will. So those were some major factors for me in my life.
Right, right. Well, thank you just for being so open with your story. This is really helping me to understand. As you know, I work with a lot of men dealing with same gender issues, but don't work with women personally. However, you know, several people come to me, and so these are people that need help. And your story really opens eyes to the roots, to how even though horrible things can happen to a person, abuse, disconnect from parents, and that sort of lack of attachment, if you will, that Jesus is bigger than all of those.
Yes.
Okay, and that's the key message here. It doesn't matter how far you've traveled out of, you know, away from the Father's hand. It's never too far to be gathered back. And so I'm just curious, you know, when you talk about specifically your relationship with your dad, and I do appreciate how respectful you are to your parents, when you talked about the time that you missed with him, do you think that maybe particularly you were more exposed or more vulnerable in that perhaps time was one of your personal love languages? I'm just curious for people out there that, you know, the five love languages we talk about, like mm-hmm. gifts or time together or acts of service or et cetera. What resonates from that for you?
Well, definitely that we could have had time together physically in the sense of doing things together, mm-hmm. and yes, that quality of time mm-hmm. certainly is words of encouragement and mm-hmm. affirmation and mm-hmm. and, you know, things that I even see today as an adult woman, as an adult child of his, that it's not that he's doing something wrong. Again, a level of difference right. of personality in that, right. for example, I might call home Well, I think he assumes that I just want to talk to my mom because we're closer. And so he'll, my perception is that he very quickly ends the conversation with me to pass me on to my mother.
Right.
Well, I perceive that he doesn't want to talk to me, and he's pushing me off on her, which is not the case. So a lot of that perception on both sides, where it's like, no, Pop, you know, I want to talk to you, too. I love you. And in fact, interesting, I bring that up because I called home last night, and we were talking, and I thought they had called, and they hadn't. And I said, well, I'll let you all go. And he said, well, wait a minute. He said, you know, don't hang up so quickly. And so that was a sweet moment between us.
Definitely. And I can so relate to you. In my own same gender attraction issues, I have at times in my life blamed my dad and really been angry with him because of some of those same dynamics. And I'm hearing your story that, you know, our parents are not to blame, and that doesn't benefit anybody, you know, but they are imperfect human beings. They had a part to play in our story. And so when we talk about these things, it's important to be real about them so that we can understand them, so that we don't have to let those dynamics control us or continue, and so that we can take risks to say, hey, you know, Dad, I really, because my dad does the same thing, I really sometimes just love to be the one to end the conversation. Would that be okay? You know?
Yeah.
And so those are things that work out eventually.
You know, a practical exercise that I went through years ago, and Mario Bergner had written about it in one of his books, and of course he's a protege of Leanne Payne, and he had talked about how he set up two chairs, and he did this with his mom and with his dad, and the two chairs represented all the things that his mom or dad did right and were wonderful and special and exceptional, and the other chair represented the legitimate objective mistakes that they made, not because they're bad people, but as you said, there's no such thing as a perfect person. And that was very healing for him, and that was very helpful for me in being able to, because we'll negate one or the other or minimize one or the other, and to be able to look at those separately and objectively and recognize all the wonderful things they did and continue to do, and then recognizing objectively that their own personalities, life dynamics, the familial relationships, how those played out, there were objective things that were less than ideal, and that played an influencing role in my development.
Right.
And not that they're to blame, that they're at fault, but recognizing there is a connection nonetheless that I needed to work through.
Right.
Melissa, you had talked about being violated as a child. Did you talk about that with your family, and how did you resolve or find healing for that issue?
I did not, because, Mike, a lot of that was underneath the surface. And when I was in counseling for a number of years, the complexity of the struggle, obviously we don't walk out of it overnight. And at one point with my therapist, I was like, I said, I have an incredible problem with rage because I've had a history of getting drunk, and then I begin to punch concrete walls, which I recognize is not the smartest thing to do, and it's leaving me hurting badly the next day. Well, was not able to connect at that point. Eventually, God being able to help make the connection that so much of that rage was having been violated. And so, you know, in retrospect, I think that was part of His grace in my life, that it was just so emotionally overwhelming that I couldn't deal with it in the here and now. And He kind of put it on the proverbial back burner, if you will, until He knew that I was prepared enough as I could be, that there was a support network in place, and the timing was right, that we could begin to broach, obviously, a deep wound.
Right.
And for me, that took months of working through and processing through.
Right.
And I know, without question, that the Father has done a remarkable healing there and extended grace. You know, he really brought it home poignantly one time when, in the beginning of that healing process, I'm sorry, this is crass. I said, I hope he burns in hell. And obviously, not at a good place then. And as God continued to work over months, and I didn't audibly hear him, but to the degree I thought I heard the Lord in my heart saying, you know, sweetheart, I I hurt with you, and I'm in pain with what happened to you as well. Mm-hmm. And he said, sweetheart, your reaction is your responsibility.
Mm.
And when we say it's level ground at the foot of the cross,
right.
And when he brought, trying to equalize, sweetheart, your sin has been grievous before me, and
right.
I have forgiven you. And
right.
And then equally, being able to minister that grace in my heart to extend forgiveness toward
wow.
him as well,
to the
perpetrator.
So forgiveness is such a key component, and I just love how boundaried God is. You know, like he can love us completely, but he doesn't have to own our choices.
Oh,
you know, and isn't that
sick.
Such a huge thing? I mean, he's saying, you know, your reaction is your responsibility. Listen, if you're just tuning in, this is Jason Graves and Mike Janung, along with our special guest, Melissa Freirer, leader of the Love One Out and Gender Issues team at Focus on the Family. We're going to talk a little bit more about Love One Out next week, so make sure and tune in. But for more information about Love One Out, spelled LoveOnout.com, visit their website, or you can call Focus on the Family at 1-800-A-FAMILY. And Melissa, you know, you're talking about, you know, some deep issues here, and we're going to probably get into the issue of choice a little bit more next time. But really, you can choose how to act in light of your attractions. And so you've made choices, and now I'm hearing you really sort of own those choices, where there would be some people out there who would say that, you know, there is no choice involved. And so talk a little bit about your experience of choice and clear that up a little bit.
And that, gosh, that's one of the big words mm-hmm. in this issue is certainly the word choice. And I appreciate a little bit more time to flesh that out, because there's a lot connected there.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a problem when Christians will say, well, you know, you chose this.
Right.
And I think that minimizes the complexity of the struggle
mm-hmm.
and oftentimes can heap shame on the person with a same-sex struggle or any other
right.
sexual addictive struggle, because it's not so simply done. So
right.
in retrospect, I never woke up one morning and thought, gee, you know, I'll be attracted to women from now on.
Right.
And at those critical years of when I began to act out homosexually, three words I often use is that I was unaware,
mm-hmm.
unable, mm. and unwilling to resist the temptation and draw. Unaware, unable, and unwilling.
Right.
And so I'm not relinquishing culpability in that I have responsibility in this. The decisions, and I like the word decisions better, in that
yes.
I obviously made a number of wrong and poor and problematic decisions over the course of time that continued to lead me on a path
mm-hmm.
towards same-sex relationships and involvement. Now, as a Christian, though, I'm much more comfortable with the word choice
mm-hmm.
in that I have choice now in the sense that I understand the contributing factors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have the empowerment of God's Spirit working in my life now.
Mm-hmm.
I have, to the degree I have, maturity in Him and in His Word
mm-hmm.
and who He is and His capabilities and utter reliance upon Him and whether I yield to His enabling grace and choosing to make the right decisions and think the right way in that regard. But so many years ago, again, unaware, unable, and unwilling. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some ways, I was unable to make the right
mm-hmm.
choices because, one, I didn't know the level of truth on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a Christian yet. I didn't have Christ yet indwelling within me or
mm-hmm.
the power of His Spirit within me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not relinquishing culpability in that I was unwilling.
Right.
In your heart, how did you make, you know, I know for me, I grew up with that kind of disconnected family relationships like you talked about, and I struggled with really connecting with and accepting God's grace and love. You talked about that same disconnection. How did you plug into the love of God? What did that transformation look like?
That's an awesome question, Mike, and even as you're asking it, I'm like, wow, how... Yeah, how do you begin to answer something so amazing? And this is what is coming to mind immediately, in that, you know, each person of the Trinity is a separate, individual, unique person. And I was first able to connect more easily with God the Father because I had a good earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was initially able to connect more as a daughter to Father God because of that good relationship. But I'll be upfront in that I had a problem with Jesus as a man because I had been violated by a man.
Right.
And it was as God the Father began to work my relationship with him and began to minister, and of course scripturally, that if you, as Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
And some really tender, poignant moments in my life where I know the Father was specifically ministering to help draw me to Jesus.
Mm.
And because they are the same in the sense, if you've seen the Father, you've seen Jesus. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Then I could begin to open up my heart to relationship more with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the unique relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, as we're able to go and speak on this issue and share our personal stories, that's been the most amazing and beautiful and awesome journey with him, in that, you know, the Heavenly Father now is Papa, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean that so reverently and adoringly, but there's such a tenderness that he's Papa. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit is teacher and mm-hmm. revealer of truth and mm-hmm. counselor, and, you know, he's comforter. We know there are difficult days
mm-hmm.
Walking the face of the earth, and then working out relationship with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, as Savior and as Lord, and then I'm just meditating on him as majestic King and beautiful
mm-hmm.
King, and
mm-hmm.
and I love to sit then at his feet, and so then the Holy Trinity working that unique relationship with each person, and each is distinct, even though it's that mystery of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of three in one.
Right.
So they're all three my favorite men.
Amen. Yeah. Listen, we just have a couple minutes left, but, you know, I got a call yesterday from a gal as I was on the way to the post office, and she said, you know, I am dealing with a problem with masturbation. I have thoughts of other women. I'm afraid that I'm gay. What? To that person listening right now, Melissa, wherever you've been, wherever you are now, and all that you know, what do you say directly to that person right now?
Well, and I've had that struggle too, so mm-hmm. I can certainly empathize. And mm-hmm. that was actually one of the hardest things
mm-hmm.
To break through and to begin to have victory over. That took a long, long time. And I mean, one, it's separating an identity from an mm-hmm. area of vulnerability. And
mm-hmm.
so, one, she's not gay or lesbian, because
right.
we know people are not born
right.
that way. But there is a level, obviously, of sexual brokenness
yeah.
and some level of sexual addiction.
Right.
And connecting with help.
Right.
I mean, there are amazing books out there now. I mean, you as a counselor, Focus on the Family has a staff of counselors
right.
that this is an important situation
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and I think serious
right.
and to encourage her, there's absolutely victory available.
Amen.
And this can be worked through, but it's going to take some initiation on her part and
mm-hmm,
some work
mm-hmm.
and some people coming alongside her
right.
to help get down to some contributing factors and begin to work through those.
Yeah, you got to get to the roots.
Yes.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure having you on, Melissa.
Thank you all so much.
Folks, listen to us next week, of course. Tune us in when we have Melissa back to talk about Love Went Out. Listen, maybe you're just a new listener. We've got some exciting news about the Blazing Grace Show. We've been invited to be on a station in South Africa. So, Mike, we're going international.
Hey, I'd like to go there sometime, too.
So you can tune us in South Africa on the radio now. Details will follow about the time, or watch the website, blazinggrace.org. Again, if you want more information about Love One Out, you can go online to loveoneout.com. That's LOVEWON OUT.com or call Folks on the Family. They have a staff of counselors, 1-800-A-FAMILY. We also here at Healing for the Soul have counseling available if you're dealing with this issue. Don't forget, the retreat is coming up. If you haven't heard about celebrating relationships, we're going to be up in beautiful Florissant, Colorado, May 18th through the 20th. We'd love to have you with us. Go to healingforthesoul.org for more information and the registration information at the resources tab or services tab on the retreat page. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
And we're also going to have a conference in Colorado Springs on May 10th called From Porn to Grace. It's going to be held at Fellowship Bible Church. That's on a Thursday night at 6:30. We'll be dealing with issues on how to break free from sexual addiction, issues for wives, and what the church can do to deal with the issue of sexual sin. So we hope to see you then, and there's no cost to come.
God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Blazing Grace Show. We trust today's broadcast helps bring you closer to God and to what God desires for your life. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported mission intended to help listeners around the world. Your support is vital in keeping that mission alive. We ask you to prayerfully consider sending a tax-deductible gift to Blazing Grace. It would be gratefully appreciated. You can send your monetary gift to Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80962-2521. That's Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80962-2521. Want to learn more about Blazing Grace? Find us on the internet at www.blazinggrace.org. That's www.blazinggrace.org/radio.htm. On that page, you'll find a downloadable copy of this show, or you can visit oneplace.com under Ministries. Look for Blazing Grace Radio. If you want help resolving a sexual addiction, you can reach Jason Graves toll-free by dialing 877-590-SOUL. That's 877-590-7685. In addition to Jason Graves counseling, Mike Chenung has a book out. Mike Chenung's book, The Road to Grace, Finding True Freedom from the Bondage of Sexual Addiction, is available at www.roadtograce.com. The book guides those who struggle with sexual addiction to a place of finding the abundant life of Christ. There are also sections for wives and recovery for marriage. Desire for a specific subject to be covered on Blazing Grace? Tell Mike Chenung what you want covered. You can email Mike at mike@blazinggrace.org. We look forward to sharing more blazing issues and grace-filled answers next time. Thanks once again for listening, and may God shine His grace upon you.